Hi there, and welcome to The Conscious Communicator, a show dedicated to helping you find your true voice, the nonviolent voice of personal responsibility and purpose, the voice that only you can speak. The reason that most of us fail to achieve our true voice is because of the false voices that occupy the mind. The voices of ego, consumption, expectation, opinion, and self-doubt rob us of our true nature, our true voice. Join me as we have a chat about inner purpose, outer passion, and finding your true voice. Everybody, and welcome to The Conscious Communicator. I'm Rusty, and as always, the phone lines are open at 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada. Worldwide, we're available at 877-489-6350. I hope you had a great week. I had a weird week. Honestly, I got to be honest with you. Now, tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about communication and other people. Last week I had a guest on and really had a difficult time trying to communicate with that guest, and I spent the whole week really thinking about what that was all about. I actually got an email from her later telling me that she had some issues that were going on and some other stuff in her life, but the truth was is that, you know what, I didn't want to hurt her feelings. You know, that was one of the things that I find interesting about communication, is how often most of us are afraid of hurting somebody else's feelings. You know, we talk about communication as being that gap, that bridge between the gap between two people. And the truth is that most of us, at least if you're like me, you worry about other people. You worry about their feelings. You worry about their opinions. We spend so much time running around like crazy trying to make other people happy, trying to sit there and communicate in a way that will allow us to maintain relationships. And I think that's good at some level. I think that's got to be the definition of society. But at the same time, it's also incredibly narrow. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where you just kind of want to step up at some point and kind of go, hey, what about me? You know, I thought about last week's show or some of the other things that have happened to me this week, and there wasn't any communication going on there. You know, there wasn't anybody talking. It wasn't a back and forth. My older brother is the same way. When I call him on the phone, it's the funniest thing in the world. I can just set the phone down. It's a one-way thing. But you know what? I don't want to say anything. You know, I don't want to hurt his feelings. I don't want to sit there and say something that's going to bother him or affect him. You know, when I started doing this show, and I was talking to Don, the station manager, last week about it, you know, I worried more about trying to make sure I was trying to be perfect for each person out there instead of establishing who I was and allow the audience to come to me based on what I had to say, because I can't be all things to all people. But how many of you out there share that same problem? How many of you out there share that same desire to try and be all things to all people? And I tell you what it ends up doing, it means that you're nothing to no one. I mean, you just become this kind of politically correct individual that has nothing of value to say to anybody. There's going to be people out there that don't like what I have to say. There's going to be people out there that don't tune into the show. But that's really not the point. There's hundreds of shows on this radio station by itself. There's hundreds of shows out there on the internet, thousands, millions that they can listen to. The point is to find something, find your own voice, as the trailer had talked about, and speak to that, and let the rest of it take care of itself. I had an experience this week. I was trying my assembly for the first time. For those of you that are new to the show, I work in elementary education, and I have been trying for the last 5 years, basically, through a website and daily webcasts and so forth at schooltools.tv, if anybody wants to check it out. It's free. You can just turn it on. I've been trying to teach social skills, basic skills, to elementary school kids. And so I finally turned this into an assembly. My, you know, kind of the my crowning jewels, you know, the cherry on the top of the ice cream, whatever it happens to be. And I've been working on that for 5 years. But Friday was the first time I was going to put that show on. And I went to a school that I knew people at. And there was about 150 kids that were going to come watch me. And right before the show started, I got there around 8 o'clock. The show was going to start at 9 a.m. My computer wouldn't work. I mean, it's not that it wouldn't work. It was projecting something onto the screen. But it was projecting something that I didn't want. And it was the strangest thing ever, because I started getting so nervous. I mean, my hands were shaking. I was standing there, I mean, literally for 45 minutes, trying to get this computer to speak to the projector in a way that would allow my presentation to present itself to the audience. And finally, at the last minute, it's ironic, and I love the story because I think it's a great start story for anybody who's going to do something like this. At the last minute, kids start piling in. I mean, literally, there's 150 kids coming through the door, and I am sitting there, and I am just, I'm in a cold flop sweat. My hands are shaking. I've been on an adrenaline ride for the last 45 minutes. I just start hitting buttons on the laptop. I'm just punching everything. Control this, control that, alt this, alt that, everything. And finally, and I'm not kidding you, with about, you know, maybe two classes left to come into the cafeteria, the show comes on. And I step away from that, and I look at the screen, and everything worked, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, I was really worried about failing. That's what was worrying me. You know, ultimately, if the system didn't work, if things hadn't gone the way that they were supposed to go, I could have explained it. The principal was there with me for the whole 45 minutes. He was on the internet searching for information, trying to figure out what it was. It wasn't intuitive. It didn't make sense. But he was there helping me. But ultimately, my fear was my fear of failure. You know, that somehow, some way, I hadn't done enough. I hadn't done enough to prepare myself for that presentation. And it's amazing to me, you know, that this is a school where the teachers and the principal and everybody were friends of mine. They would have, you know, they would have said, you know, hey, Rusty, don't worry about it. And yet, I was so afraid of failure. I was so afraid of looking ridiculous in front of those people. And I think ultimately that's what really affects our communication. We're so worried about what other people think about what we have to say. And again, I go back to the model of society. I understand a lot of us out there, we have to communicate in a certain way. We need to learn to communicate in certain ways that work in certain situations. But there's so many people out there that are talking about communication at different levels on different consciousness and different planets and different here and different there. I can't even figure out how to communicate here. I mean, the conscious communicator is about communicating in the here and now. It's about communicating with the people that you run into every day. And for most of us, those are the people across the street. You know, they're not the people in the supernatural. They're not the people outside of our own reality. They're the people that we run into every day. And the struggles that we have and the problems that we face, even if we're trying to communicate. I was down in San Francisco. I've been going down there for the last month trying to rent a commercial space for a friend of mine, Brian Martin. If you were here, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, he was on the show with me. He was on here, and him and I were trying to rent a space down there to do some, we had a business idea that we were going to do. I had gone in as the lead person on renting a space in this small building, and I talked to the tenants, told them what we were going to do. I was very excited about what we were planning on doing, and I hear back from the landlord that none of them are interested in having us in the space. And so what did I do? I turned around and went back and tried to repackage what we were doing in a way that would be convenient, in a way that would allow those individuals to accept me, in a way that would allow them to say, oh, okay, you're a good person, let's come in. We were talking about doing classes in family reunification. We were talking about doing classes in communication and anger management. And these people rejected us. But instead of accepting that as a group of small-minded individuals, I tried to repackage myself in a way that would be acceptable to their mindset. And I find that really fascinating. Why in the world would I be repackaging myself to try and fit into that mindset instead of finding another building, instead of finding another place with a group of people who had a different mindset, a mindset that was more conducive to what I was trying to accomplish? Not to say that we can't be open to other people's opinions. And please, again, join me at any time. I would love so much if any of you would call me. 888-228-4494. If anybody out there is listening, join in. But why? Why do we sit there and try and make ourselves and package ourselves to a particular mindset? You know, we're out there figuring, hey, man, or maybe you're the opposite of me. Maybe you don't try and package yourself to anybody. Maybe you're one of those people who are just straight up, you know, out there and just don't even care what anybody thinks. But I don't think there's very many of us like that. You know, teenagers do that. You see that now, you know, in teenagers in high school. They walk around as if, you know, they don't care whatever they're wearing. They stand for what they stand for, and they don't care what anybody else thinks about what they're doing. And it's funny to me, because a lot of adults are out there, and we really care. We try and go out there and really make other people feel what we're feeling. But we try like crazy to get them to accept us. And you know what? People aren't going to like you. People aren't going to accept you. People are going to reject your opinions. but I think it's valuable that you hold those opinions, even if they are ignorant. You know, to the point where you hold that an ignorant opinion, then at some level, when you have feedback from other people, conscious communication wouldn't be about agreement. It wouldn't be about everybody accepting. It would be about having a dialogue. It'd be about talking about it. Hey, you know what? I don't agree with that particular statement. I don't think that's the, you know, this is my opinion on that subject. I've met people from that country or people of that culture, and I don't feel the same way that you do. Instead of it turning into a fight or an argument, most of us are afraid of communication because of conflict. I don't think a lot of us are comfortable with conflict. Some of you that have been with me have heard about my talking about my father, been remarried now for, I don't know, 6 months, and he wants to call his new wife my stepmother. And my four brothers and sister and I are very interested in trying to discourage him from doing that. And we've talked to each other about it, but the fear of the conflict with my father is one of the reasons that we don't communicate with him. And I think that's one of the things that stops us. We're fearful of conflict. Conscious communication wouldn't be about agreement. It'd be about an open dialogue and an open-air marketplace where people had the right to speak and had the right to have different opinions, but allowing each person to have that opinion without taking it personally. Allowing each person to carry that view and then to have a conversation with them, but not try to convince them or change them. And half the relationships that I know when I'm working with people in couples therapy, the relationships are about changing. The relationships are about trying to change the other person. And I don't think that's what communication is about. It's not about changing somebody. It's about understanding somebody, accepting that person or not accepting that person, choosing to have them in your life or not, but not, you know, changing them. I remember going to couples counseling when I was married, and the counselor asked me, he said, Rusty, what would you like to change about your wife? And I said, I'd really appreciate some more help around the house. I happen to be somebody who likes to do a lot of chores. I like the house to be clean, and I like things going on around the house, and so I was actively involved in those kinds of domestic activities. So I said, I'd like to have more help around the house. Turned to my ex-wife and said to her, what would you like to change about Rusty? And she said, I don't like his personality. He's a little too dark for me. He thinks too much. He's too serious. And I'm thinking to myself, it's going to be a lot easier for her to come up to my standard in terms of maybe picking up her clothes every now and then for me to change my entire personality. And that's when I started to realize, I don't think that this is really going to work out. Because I can't be all things to all people. I can't be all things to every listener that's out there. That's not my intent. And when you call in, and hopefully you'll start to call in, 888-228-4494, you'll come in with your own opinion, and I will hold that true to you for you. I may disagree with you, but I certainly will hold it true for you if you choose to chime in. One last thing before our guest, Sonia Bennett, joins us, so she's going to join us about quarter after. I talk about communication and other people just simply not listening. I've had a friend of mine, we dated for a good year and a half, 2 years, and have been broken up for the last year. But during that period of time, we've tried to do that friendship thing. And we've talked, you know, over and over and over again about doing the friendship thing. We're friends, right? This is all about friendship. Yeah, exactly. We're on the same page. I'm talking, trying to explain myself, talking about the fact that I feel like friendship is the way to go. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, I realized that that wasn't what was going on for her. That wasn't what was going on in her mind. As much as I had tried to communicate, she had a totally different mindset about what was going on. And so I think a lot of times we talk about communication as if it's a given, as if there's some way that we can, you know, that we can establish it as being, this is what communication is. This is what works and this is what doesn't. And anytime you hear that, run. Run as fast as you can. If anybody tells you they've got the answer, if anybody tells you that they can point to a system that's going to work, I argue with you, run. Because communication is about work. It's about effort. It's about constant input, feedback, and self-reflection. And when you do that, and then you continue to communicate with the people that are important to you, you're going to create significant relationships in your life. And at the same time, it's about prioritizing and trying to keep at bay those fears and those inadequate fears of other people. I guarantee you, I worry more about people's opinions of me who I don't even know than I do about the people that are closest to me. And I think it's really important for us to try and focus on the people that are a priority and continue to communicate, even if we disagree. It's not like there's a win-lose situation in human communication. It's about an ongoing dialogue. It's about a continuing dialogue between two human beings. And as long as we keep that dialogue open, the relationship continues. We may agree to disagree. We may agree that, there's periods of time when you don't like somebody that you love very much, and that's fine. But the idea that there's a winner in communication, the idea that there's one way to do it, the idea that we found that one way, I think is probably the most significant farce that I've ever heard, and I include myself in that. And I love talking about the ways that my communication styles don't work, because even as I offer myself as a counselor, as a conscious communicator, the truth of the matter is that I'm out there with you every day in the trenches trying to figure it out, trying to learn, trying to make myself a better communicator. You know what happened when I repackaged myself to try and make myself more appealing to the people in that office space? They rejected me again. They said, we don't want anything to do with you, even if you're doing this or you're doing that. The matter was is that they weren't interested in having us in there. You can try, but the truth is that you need to find your own voice. And as ineffectual as it may be in certain environments, it's going to work somewhere. You're going to find your place. You're going to find your rhythm. You're going to find your tone. That's the key. Finding something that's important to you, holding true to it. Not saying that you won't change, that you won't grow, that you won't find significant reasons to make changes, but it's to say that you find some place to stand for a period of time and you don't find yourself in the position of Hamlet, who is so mentally challenged by what's going on in his life that he can't think of anything else. So hopefully, I don't know, Don, are you out there? Do we have Sonia on the line? All right, hopefully Sonia will be joining us in a few minutes. And again, I would love to hear from you guys, 888-228-4494. Sonia Barrett is our guest tonight. She has she also has a radio show on bbdsradio.com. She's on Station 1 on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. And Sonia's a very interesting lady. She was born in Jamaica, and she moved to the United States when she was 13. And she's going to hopefully talk to us about her journey and some of the things that she's dealt with during her transition, and hopefully be able to give us some advice about radio shows as well. But talking about conscious communication, again, today's show has been talking about the idea that there is no one way to do it. There's no guarantee. Some of the things that we focus on, some of the things that we think about, number one are expectations. You know, expectations of the people that we are talking to. You know, what are their expectations? What are they thinking about? And we try and find out what their expectations is in advance of communication. Because expectations are really important. I think in my relationship situation I talked about earlier, I think we had some mix-ups in terms of expectations. I think at some level there was a belief that maybe my mindset would change. And no matter how much I communicated that, the expectation was different on the other side. And when you run into that kind of situation, I'm not sure that you can overcome it. You know, it may be a situation where you have to cut off communication with that particular individual, at least on that particular subject, whatever that happens to be. In my situation, it was about relationship. It was about being friends. And I can't imagine that, you know, you can remain friends with somebody who has the expectation that it's going to go farther than that. That's almost, there's a dishonesty there. There's almost like a betrayal. Because you're out there trying as hard as you can to manage a relationship based on one expectation, which is what you have, and the other person is managing the relationship based on a secondary expectation. How are you not going to get let down? How are you not going to be held to a different standard? I mean, part of the process has to be finding out what the other person's expectations are. Do others know your expectations? Do you think that they know them? Oftentimes in couples therapy, what we hear so often is we ask one person to tell the other person, as I mentioned earlier, what are your expectations of your partner? And they'll say, and oftentimes it's a woman, and I don't say that in a negative way, it's just oftentimes that's my experience. The response will be, I don't want to tell him my expectations, because if I do, he'll only be doing it because I asked him to. Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's exactly what communication's about. I'm asking you, please, this is what I need. This is what my expectations are. And when you find out what their expectations are and another human being decides to live up to those expectations, is that in some way, shape, or form doesn't denote love? Because love is such a four-letter word, we think of it in some way, shape, or form as being like mind reading. We think at some level that somebody will just come up and say, this is what love is. You know, love is about understanding each other at such a perfect level that we don't need to communicate. We're in love. We're in love. We love each other. We don't need to communicate. I don't need to tell him or her what's on my mind. They should know because they're in my mind. That's what it feels like, doesn't it, when you're with somebody significant? They're a part of you. Isn't that the old myth, two people become one? That's the mythology, the old biblical idea, two people become one. Nothing could be further from the truth. Two people do not become one. Two people join together to create a third entity called a relationship. But the expectations of each individual, the life experience, the communication levels, where they were raised, who they were raised by, those things are completely and totally individual. They're not the same. And nothing could be further from the truth than thinking about two people becoming one. That's a ridiculous analogy. Apologize for, you know, dissing the Bible. My bad to anybody out there. But my idea is that how in the world can you imagine or expect that to happen without constant communication about expectations? What do you need me to do in this situation to make it work? I can remember going to my ex-wife's house. She would ask me specifically, before we go to her parents' house, would you please not drink when you go to your parents' house? And I would say, your dad always offers me alcohol. And she said, but I don't want you to. And I said, well, that's not cool, because that's not me. I love to have a cocktail. I love to have a beer. I love to have a glass of wine with your dad. It was important to her that I didn't do it. But it, for me, as an individual, I was saying, well, this is me, man. This is who I am. This is who I stand for. You can't ask me to change. If you love me, you'll accept me for who I am. Well, that's not really exactly what she was saying. She was asking, it wasn't that she didn't accept that for, in our daily existence. She was just saying it based on the experience of her family and her experience of growing up in her family. And even though her father might offer that to me, and even though her father might say that it's cool, he may sit down and have a beer with me, there was a consideration in her family, which was a Baptist family, that this was sort of something that maybe we shouldn't do all the time. I was raised in an Irish Catholic family, which meant we did it all the time. It's a completely different expectation. But why wasn't I able to sit down and see it? She was asking me straight to my face, I'm asking you please not to do this. And yet, my response was, if you love me, you'll let me do it. Or another response was, if you really love me, you would understand that this is something I need to do. Well, don't we make sacrifices for the people we love? Don't we sit there at some level, at some point, and make sacrifices, make decisions, and say, I'm not going to do that? I think that's what love is. You know, love is a four-letter word. So is work. And I think they have a lot in common. Communication is a four-letter word, C-O-M-M. Communication, a four-letter word, work. It takes effort. It takes communication. It takes expectations from both people's perspective, finding out what's going on in both people's minds. That's what communication is about. There's no guaranteed method. The best way we can do it is to find out what the other person's expectations are. What's going on with you? What would you like me to do in this situation? How do you see this situation differently than I do? We're still waiting for Sonia Barrett. I don't know if Dawn's out there. Hopefully we maybe have tried to call her a couple of times and we haven't gotten a hold of her yet. Love to have her on at any point. But tonight we're talking about communication and other people. If any of you out there have stories about communication and the challenge that it is with other people, don't hesitate to give us a call, 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada, toll-free 877-489-6350 worldwide. What do you think about it? Do you think other people are the challenge in communication, or is it our desire to please? Is it our desire to try and make other people happy or to prove to other people who we are? I think another barrier to communication is that our expectation that we show other people who we are. We're so passionately interested in expressing ourselves and our ego to other people. We talk to them as if we want them to know who we are, and we expect them to know who we are. We expect them to understand certain things about us, certain things that are important to us. And if they don't understand those things, again, there's a conflict. I brought that up earlier, and I think it's important to think about communication. Why do most of us not do it? When I'm in anger management, domestic violence classes, talking to guys that are out of prison, and they start dealing with the reality of they can't use their violent mentality anymore, the first thing that happens is they stop having communication with anybody if it's a sensitive topic. And we realize the reason that they do that is because they're afraid of the conflict. They're afraid that something negative is going to happen. Their life experience has always been that something bad's going to happen. If I try and bring up my point of view, if I try and express myself, something negative is going to happen. There's going to be a fight. Somebody's going to argue with me. Somebody's going to start yelling. The levels are going to go up. There won't be communication. There'll just be two people yelling at each other. And if we yell at each other long enough and loud enough, that may lead to something that would cause me to lose my freedom. So how can I communicate? How can I bring up my needs? A lot of the guys that I work with, a lot of people like myself and a lot of you out there, the problem that we have is we don't know how to set effective boundaries. We don't know how to position ourselves in a way so that we don't let people take advantage of us, so that we don't let people walk on us, until such time as we actually can't deal with it anymore and we stand up for ourselves and we say, enough's enough. I can't have this anymore. And the next thing you know, we're in a conflict, or worse than that, we're in a fight. But what it takes on a regular basis is establishing boundaries. You know, I had the unbelievable good fortune, and this is like, I don't know, this is really truly one of the greatest gifts that's ever been given to me. My brother Mike and his wife live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I go down there as part of my relocation process to get down there, and they have three sons. And their sons are 12, 10, and 8. And I love these boys. You know, I don't have any kids of my own. I have a dog, Jake, who I've talked about before, who's sitting here watching me as we do the show. But I don't have any sons of my own. And I think about these guys as being the closest thing to my own kids that I could ever possibly have. Well, this weekend was the first time that I got a chance to babysit for these guys while their parents went away. And their parents just left for one night, but they left me the opportunity to do that. And I was so flattered. I was unbelievably flattered. The fact that they would give me the opportunity to do it, the fact that they would allow me to take care of their most prized possessions, and I thought of that. That's the other thing that bugs me about the friend of mine who I had talked to earlier. She had guaranteed me that she was going to come over and take care of my house when I was down in San Francisco. And she was also going to take care of my dog, my most prized possession. There's a trust level there. There's a trust level there that my brother and his wife gave to me that is the most unbelievable gift and the most precious gift you could possibly imagine. But their youngest son and I are in the process of establishing a relationship with each other, and we're learning how to communicate. And there are times when he just gets furious at me. I mean, he is so angry at me for certain reasons. And you know what I love about the fact that my brother, he allows us to have our own relationship. And there are times when my little nephew will just look at me with that look in his eye like, man, I'm going to get bigger than you one of these days. And it's just because we don't, you know, there's certain things that we don't agree upon. But, you know, it takes work. I constantly have to be communicating with him. I mean, he's only 9 years old. and I constantly have to communicate. Hey, these are my expectations. I accept this. I don't accept this. And setting boundaries and continuing to set those boundaries. I think it's really difficult for parents. Parents out there have a very difficult time setting boundaries and staying consistent to those boundaries. Communication is about establishing boundaries, but you don't just establish them once. You can't possibly establish a boundary once. There's going to be more than just one time that you have to sit there and say, I'm going to establish this boundary. Jake, my dog, is a perfect example of that. We go out walking, and I've had him for 8.5, almost 9 years, and I have tried to stay and to sit and everything, and he's an off-leash dog. And I don't know, for those of you out there that are on-leash people, good for you. I'm not that kind of dog walker, and he's not that kind of dog, and he's off-leash. But I constantly have to be reminding him of what my expectations are. We bought a shock collar this year because he had gotten somewhat prey aggressive, and he was interested in cats, and he was interested in raccoons, and he was interested in ground squirrels and everything else. And I just couldn't stand to see another animal be under attack from my dog, so we got a shock collar. And it's even though he understands that there's some punishment associated with that, he continues to go in the direction that he wants to go in. And I have to continue to remind him of what my expectations are. Does he usually follow in the expectations that we set up for each other? Yeah, he does. But I have to continually remind him of that. And I think in communication and relationships, sometimes we think that because we've said it maybe 10 times or over and over again, that it's been said, that the other person should understand it. Instead of just realizing, like anything else, we have to continue to reiterate it. Because the tendency is for us to get lazy, us being the other side of that equation. If I'm a partner and you've told me your expectations are this, that, or the other, I maybe do it for the first 3 or 4 or 5 times, and then I start to slip back into my own patterns. I start to slip back into my own expectations of the world. And so I have to be continually reminded of the fact that, hey, you know what? These are your expectations. This is what you want. In a non-combative way, allowing the other person to hear you in a way that doesn't judge them, in a way that just restates what your expectations are. How hard is that? It's very hard. It's incredibly difficult. And that's what we're talking about. Some of the stuff that we're talking about here is really difficult. And I find some of the existential stuff that we talk about in some of these other situations about talking about transcendence, or we talk about the idea that we're going to get outside of this world, or we're going to get outside of this reality, or we're going to find some way to overcome to get over this particular reality. At some level, I feel like that's disingenuous. At some level, I feel it's like a video game. You know, if you're playing a video game, there's certain expectations for each level. And whether you believe there's other levels or not, there are expectations for this level of our video game. Our video game at this level is communication, constant. There's going to be challenges. Other people are tough to deal with. But we have to continually communicate on this level. This is what we have to do in order to make ourselves heard, in order to get what we want, in order to establish a lifestyle that's acceptable to us. Can we overcome certain things? Can we put certain things aside? Absolutely. I've listened to great communicators, I assume. They've told me they're great communicators, who have talked about the idea of non-judgment, zero judgment, being able to get to a level where nothing would affect you. And I'm amazed by those people. I think it's wonderful. I think if you can get to that level, good for you. But my experience of that is that it's kind of life denying. It's kind of looking elsewhere for your reality. It's kind of looking outside of what's right here in front. Is it the Matrix? Are we looking at something that's fake? Maybe. But Occam's razor is, the simplest answer is usually the right one. The simplest answer is, yeah, we're really here, and this is really now, and these are really the challenges that we're facing, and there's really no way out of this. I mean, we can look outside of ourselves, and we can hopefully find other ways to do it, but the evolutionary process takes time. consciousness is what? What do we give it? You know, if the Bible gives it 6,000 years, and it might be a little bit longer than that, but in terms of evolution or whatever you consider the lifespan of the universe, it's a drop in the bucket. Consciousness is just evolving. These are the real challenges that we face. The challenges of the never-ending mind, the never-ending communicative mind. Waking up each day with thoughts in your heads about what I didn't do or what I could have done better. Songs stuck in your head over and over and over again. These are the real daily issues that we deal with. And there are people out there who have reached a different level, and they're on different channels on this radio station. Those people are definitely at a different level than I am, because my level, apparently, what I'm here to do, what my life generation is in this particular situation, is to deal with the here and now. It's to deal with this, the this. And what this is all about is constant communication. We call this show the Conscious Communicator. Maybe we should call it Constant Communication, because that's more about what it's all about, constantly communicating. Constantly reminding people of what's important to us. Even if we love them, even if they're people that we know. My brother Mike, I talk about him, I love him, he's my best friend. I have to set boundaries, I have to tell him what's important to me, and I also have to understand from his perspective what's important to him. You know, when he first got married, it was so difficult for me. There was a new person in there, and he had to let me know, hey, this person has expectations as well. This person has certain expectations of me, and I can no longer be that complete entity to you. And I had to learn to understand that. I had to learn to continue. If I wanted to maintain a relationship with those people, of course I can choose to not do it. I can choose to sit there and say, okay, forget it. You know, it's beautiful that I talked about my father calling his new wife our stepmother, and it's beautiful because apparently my brother had sent him an email talking about the fact that the rest of us were uncomfortable with it. I was hoping, hopefully waiting for a period of time, chicken, you hear that in the background. I was waiting for the appropriate time to talk to him. I couldn't talk to him on the phone because apparently they are connected at the hip, and he puts us on speakerphone as soon as we call. So there wasn't an opportunity, really, because he lives on the East Coast, for me to say, hey, Pop, by the way, can we talk about this whole stepmother thing? I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not feeling you in that situation. I know you want this relationship to work. I know you're interested in this person, but the chances of us wanting to call this person our new mother at some level is something that we need to work on, or I need to understand what it is important for you. But my brother sent him an email, and apparently my father responded by changing. My father changed. My dad, 71 years old, changed. Because I get a phone call from him today, and he's talking about me and my partner, me and my this, me and that. He wasn't talking about it. He wasn't referring to me. He wasn't trying to make it about me, saying that your stepmother, asking me to change. He had changed in response to what we had sent him. You know how rare that is? How rare that's been of my 45 years of experience of my father? It's probably happened, I don't know, 5 times, maybe. Maybe most of those times have been, maybe 4 of those 5 times have been we agree to disagree on issues like religion or politics. But the fact that he made a decision based on us, in my mind, strikes me as one of the most incredible things I've ever seen, because he listened. He paid attention. He may come back. He may come back a month from now and start that stepmother thing all over again. We may have to reiterate, we're not comfortable with that right now. Can we make that call? But the fact of the matter is that he changed. The fact of the matter is that he listened. The fact of the matter is that somebody tried to communicate. Because certain members of my family are considering not speaking to him again. All right, fine, I just won't talk to him. All right, that's what I'm going to do. I ain't going to talk to him ever again because I'm not going to have somebody. And that's where we go to. We have like this either, you know, we have these two polar, it's like politics right now. We have these polar opposite opinions. I'm either going to be completely liberal or completely conservative. There's nothing in the middle. Conscious communication is all about the middle. It's all about the line between the dark and the light and the yin and the yang symbol. I love that symbol. And everybody looks at it, yin and yang, it's the light and the dark, it's the conscious and the young, blah, blah, blah. All I see is the line that goes right between the two of them. That's the communication line. That's the walking path. And if any of you'd like to join me on that path, I would love to have you. 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. I guess we didn't get Sonia tonight. Maybe we'll get her later. Love to talk to her about what's going on in her world, but apparently we didn't get a hold of her, and that's fine because we're having a good conversation as it is. Communication, expectation, other people. It'd be easy to communicate if you didn't have to deal with other people. I have no problem whatsoever communicating with Jake. Jake and I communicate without question across the board. We have no issues in community. Well, like I said, we have issues about him killing other animals. But other than that, I can usually talk to him. And that's the beauty of animals. Animals don't talk back. They just sit there and look at us, and they think every word out of our mouth is like pure gold. The challenge with other people is they're going to disagree with us. They're not going to see us as being the people that we want to see ourselves as being. They're going to see us as, hey, man, I know you, or I have some sense of who you are. And that's another trap that we fall into, too, is prejudging people, not allowing them outside of the box, not giving them the right to be who they are. It's like, again, I'll speak about my family. I love my family dearly. My older brother had, for a long period of time, gone by the name of Chip. That was his name. His given name is Charles. And he wanted his family to start calling him Charles. Man, that was the hardest thing ever. You know, a lot of us started to think, oh, we know you, dude. You're just trying to be, you know, you're being, I don't even know what the word is, preposterous, I don't know. Somebody knows the word, call in. But you're being pompous, or you're trying to give yourself some different air, some different version of who you are. You know what I think it was? I think what it was that he was done with his old life. There were parts of his old life that he'd kind of grown out of, and Chip was kind of that young part of his old life, and he took on a new life. And that new life included a whole bunch of different stuff that was brand new. He reinvigorated himself and rededicated himself to the faith that he grew up in. He became a born-again Catholic. He invested himself completely and totally in a relationship with a woman that he loves. He invested himself in work. He invested himself in becoming very good as a salesman. And I think at the level that he wanted to stop being called that old name, he now wanted to be called Charles instead of Chip. And it reminds me of my favorite Shakespeare of all time, and I'll come back to that in a minute because I have to tell you about my favorite communicator, Rose Throkeld. I was 11th grade in London Central High School. I'm sitting in the library. And I'm in 11th grade going into 12th grade. It's the end of the year, and we're filling out our grade cards for the next year. And this little old lady comes walking in, and she walks up to my table specifically. The entire library is full of people. She walks specifically up to my table for some reason, and she sits there, and she looks at me, and she says, "You're going to take my Honor Shakespeare class." And I said, "You're nuts." And she said, "No, I'm not. Well, I might be nuts, but you're going to take my Honor Shakespeare class." And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm taking office assistant, PE assistant. I'm taking every easy course I can my senior year, with the exception of the requirements, which were whatever, trigonometry, U.S. history, blah, blah, blah." And she said, "No, and she actually took the card and wrote it in there. And for some reason, I let it go. The next year I walked into her class, and she put a record on the record player. And the record was the Royal Shakespeare Players. And again, remember, I was in London, I was in a dorm school in High Wycombe, actually doing the play verbally by record. I could hear what they were saying. I could understand what they were saying. I could understand the humor. I could feel what he was saying. I couldn't get that from the words on the page. I couldn't get that by being a reader, but I understood it by listening. She taught me that I wasn't stupid. I've only had two B's since the moment I entered her class, and that includes my college education and my master's degree. Because I realized I wasn't stupid, she educated me in that moment. And my favorite Shakespeare play is the play of Henry the Fourth, Part 1, Part 2, and then Henry the Fifth. And if any of you haven't seen Kenneth Branagh's Henry the Fifth, it is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant from start to finish. It gives me chills, and I've probably seen it 20 times. But it is a beautiful movie, and the way that he communicates about Hal, that's who it was. It wasn't Henry the Fifth. It was Hal in his younger days, and how he was Falstaff's sidekick, and how Poins and those boys had done things that they weren't that proud of, but how he had used those experiences and how he took those experiences and won the Battle of St. Crispin's Day and introduced that element of who he was into the next element of who he was to become reminds me of my brother Chip becoming Charles. Chip took the elements of his early life and he became Charles. And he would probably argue King Charles if he could be here with me tonight. And one of these days he's going to be here, and God, I hope he calls in, because if you get a chance to hear him, it is pure joy to hear my brother talk, because he's a brilliant man and he talks nonstop and he'll ask questions that'll blow you away. But questions in the here and now. And that's what the Conscious Communicator is about. If you like this show, if you're one of the 12 or 13 people that are still out there, if you accidentally left your computer on, props to you. But if you're out there and you're listening right now and you think of somebody else that would actually appreciate and who could benefit from real life communication, from day to day, honest to goodness communication in the here and now, please email them about this show. I actually am somebody who's not interested. I don't have commercials. I'm not selling anything. I'm interested in the evolution of the human mind and the evolution of consciousness. That's why I do this. And if you think there's somebody out there that can benefit from this, please turn them on to this show. Please just email it to them. Send them the link. Tell them to check me out next week. Next week we're supposed to have Jimmy Robinson, which is a poet who sent me an entire box of books, which I can't wait to dig into. I actually have it over here. He's a street poet. He grew up homeless on the streets. I got to believe this guy's got something to offer. I got to believe this guy's got something for our show. Because he's somebody that learned how to communicate from the bottom up. And he's figured out how to take that experience and turn it into art. And that's what we're trying to do here. And I apologize to those of you out there who are looking for a higher level or for some spiritual awakening. I can't provide that for you, but I can help you communicate in your day-to-day life. I can help you communicate with the people that you love. I can help you to communicate with the people that are still living, as opposed to those who have gone beyond. And if there's other people out there with that you think could benefit from this, please turn them on. I want to go back to Shakespeare for a minute, because there's a sonnet that I still remember from that period of time. It's King Henry's sonnet. And it kind of speaks to who I am and who I'd like to become, who I've been working on for the last 45 years, since high school, I guess, would be, somebody else do the math, 22 and 18 would be 40, so 27 years ago in Ms. Throckel's class, we had to memorize these poems or these sonnets from Shakespeare. And Prince Hal's sonnet, when he tells Poindexter and he tells Falstaff in his mind that at some point he's going to outgrow them, at some point he's going to overcome them, at some point he's going to become something, he's going to overcome them and become the next level. Excuse me, my throat's getting dry. The sonnet that brings to mind is, "I know you all and will a while uphold the unyoked humor of your idleness. Yet herein will I imitate the sun, who doth permit the base contagious clouds to smother up the beauty from the world. but when he pleases again to be himself, being wanted, he may be more wondered at, by breaking through the foul and ugly mist of vapor that did seem to strangle him. If every day were playing holiday, to sport would be as tedious as to work. But when they seldom come, they wish for come, and nothing pleases like rare accident. And when this loose behavior I throw off and pay the debt I never promised, by how much better than my word am I? By so much shall I falsify men's hopes, and like a bright metal over a sullen ground, my reformation glittering o'er my fault, shall seem more goodly and attract more eyes than what that which has no foil to set it off. I'll so offend to make offense a skill, redeeming time when men least think I will. I skipped parts in there. I didn't get it all the way. You may hear me do that again. But the idea is that, and I've listened to the teaching company. There's a brilliant professor out of Harvard or Yale or something that talks about this speech as being a political speech about becoming this other entity and about becoming that thing which he wasn't. And I defer to genius when it comes to anything, but I also think about a young person who thinks about their past and says, I'm going to incorporate that in who I am. I'm going to overcome that. And by overcoming it, I'm going to seem more beautiful than that, because nobody expected me to. Nobody expected me to become anything. They all expected me just to end up being whatever. In Hal's case, it was being a thief. It was being in the pubs all the time partying with Falstaff. They never expected him to be a king. And they didn't expect him, when he became a king, to be a king of kings, to be somebody who could rally his forces to defeat the French, to overcome the most powerful army as they met at Agincourt, and he defeated them on St. Crispin's Day. And if you hear that speech, if you get the chance to ever rent that movie and you hear that speech, you'll know about a young person who's taken his life experience and he's turned it into something else. For those of you that are out there who don't feel like your life experience has been what it was supposed to be, you're denying it. You can't move forward without integrating the past. The past is who you are. That's where you came from. We can work with that. The conscious communicator is not about pointing backwards and saying, my dad was a dick, or my mom was this, or whatever it happens to be. It's not about that. It's about taking where you came from and integrating it, and using that power to move forward. I firmly believe that my friend Don on the radio station, I love to call him Canadian Bacon, used his past life experience to fuel the energy that's in the station that you hear on a daily basis. He took his past experiences and integrated that. And he took it and he used it in a passionate way. He's communicating that now. This is my response to where I came from. This is my response to what happened to me. This is my response to my past. You can't deny your past. You can, but the subconscious will bite you in the ass. I promise it'll get you every single time. It'll come up when you least expect it. Don't be afraid of your past. A lot of different people would argue that you chose your parents, you chose your past. Accept it. It is who it is, you are who you are, and your past is what it is. But it doesn't have to be something that limits you. It doesn't have to be something that stops you. It doesn't have to be something that makes your life more narrow instead of more purposeful. And hopefully Jimmy, when he joins us next week, is going to talk about that, because this is a man who raised himself, from the streets. He wasn't limited by his life experience. When I work with these foster kids, the most important thing that I tell them is, yes, your mom stabbed you 15 times. Yes, your parents were drug addicts. But are you going to allow that to dominate your life? Are you going to allow that to determine who you are, where you go, what you do, who you become? And the answer 95 times out of 100 is, absolutely. I'm going to become that which created me. I am going to become that which created me. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but it surely can roll. And the point is that you can't deny the fact that you're an apple. But you can roll into a different orchard. Conscious communication isn't about talking to the dead. It's not about talking to UFOs. It's not about talking to other people in a way that makes them happy, in a way that gets them to buy your products. It's about you and your communication and learning to speak with your own true voice. Thanks for joining me tonight. The rest is still unwritten. Have a great week. Thank you, Don.
We've come to the end of another hour here at the Conscious Communicator, and I can't thank you enough for joining me on this journey. Your phone calls and emails are greatly appreciated, and if you like what we're doing, please invite a friend to join us. This is a conversation that needs many voices, and as we open up the possibility of conscious communication to more and more people, the results will be a freeing of the true self from the burdensome armor of ego, and a flowering of the potential that is available to all of us. Until next time, peace out, travelers. The rest is still unwritten.